I know, yes, as announced earlier on, we now have with us, joining us by telephone this afternoon, our dear brother, Shimu Edele, for Impact Clinic. Impact Clinic on Gospel Best Radio with Shimu Edele. Good afternoon, brother. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, sir. I'm doing well.
Hallelujah. Thank you very much for joining us again. This is the edition for April. For those who are regular listeners to Impact Clinic on Gospel Best Radio, notice this program airs on the first Saturday in every month, and this will be the 12th one, am I correct?
The 13th,
and today is your birthday, is that correct as well? No, today, not today. I must have missed your birthday, right?
Yeah, one day was my birthday.
Okay. So, unfortunately, I missed your birthday. We missed your birthday. We're going to give you a shout out now. Yes. And that's from all of us to you, dear brother. Yes, wishing you many, many happy returns of your birthday. May the good Lord bless you even more and make the future even more glorious than the past, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank God. We already have people joining us. Thank you. I think this is Sister Ellen, I'm not sure, saying hi to us. So what you can do is just tap the WhatsApp widget. You see it on the bottom right-hand corner of our page. If you want to ask a question or you want to make any contribution, just tap that WhatsApp widget and you can join us. So, brother, over to you now.
All right. Thank you once again, sir, for the birthday wishes.
Thank God.
I want to thank everyone out there listening to Gospel Bells Radio. Like Barista said, this is the 13th. That means that we have the first year done on Impact Clinic.
Yes.
We give glory to God. We thank Him for His grace and His help.
It
is our prayer that He keeps revealing His word to us, that His word will not be cast in our midst.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, so we are welcome to the third series on church series. We started church series February. We had the first in February. Then March was the second. Then today is the third.
Yes.
Where we've been looking at, we've been making comparison between the church of then. So when we say the church of then, our center has been the way the apostles did the church.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at the contemporary, how the church leaders, how church members, how the church as an organism now is faring, and how the church as an organization is faring. And so when we started this series, it was well established that the goal, the aim, the objective is not to castigate the church, but we are trusting God to raise burdens in our hearts to pray for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I believe that wherever prayer is focused, power falls.
Mm.
Wherever prayer is focused, power falls. So if we want to see revival in the church, if we are tired of the routines of the church, if we are longing for what the testimony of the church used to be, and we want it to repeat itself in our days, then believers need to come on board and go on their knees to pray for the church. And I know that some persons must have been praying for the church since we started.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also trusting God that even on earth, before the end of the series, or as a way of wrapping up the series, we can spend time to pray together for the church. So we are also looking at how young ones who are going into ministries, young ones who are in the church today, you know, we can seek the ancient path and run in it. Okay?
Yes.
Well established what the church is, that the church is more of an organism than an organization. It is the people, not the edifice, not the building. Okay? While comparing the church of then and now, we started with looking at the leadership. I'm doing a review now before we continue today.
Okay.
We look at the leadership of the church, and we said when we look at the apostles of old, they rely more on inspiration. But when we look at the way the church is being run today, you see that we rely more on administration.
True.
Yeah. So, but if we, if revival must occur, then we need to go back to relying on inspiration. Then yes, we will do administration, because the church will run, any spiritual organization will run well, fare well, if she can combine or synergize between administration and inspiration. But we should rely more on inspiration. Yeah. Okay? Then we also consider the fact that the way ministry is being viewed this day, it is viewed more as a source of livelihood, as a profession. But ministry in the days of the apostles is seen as, you know, you will hear Apostle Paul saying things like, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel."
Oh, yeah.
So they were not seeing ministry as a means of making money. In fact, Apostle Paul, I'm going to show us in the course of today's session, Apostle Paul said, "My own hands have met my own need." So he was not doing ministry so as to be financially all right. He was doing ministry to fulfill the cause, to fulfill the mandate of the gospel, as Jesus gave us in Matthew 28, that we should go and make disciples of all nations.
Yes.
So when God is saying you should build him a church, he is not saying you should build an edifice. He is saying you should build him a people. A people that will not need anybody to teach them that they should know the Lord, because they will know him for themselves.
True.
Okay? So last month, we were looking at the matter of differences in doctrines. And we're saying that the church today, we have a lot of differences, a lot of dichotomy in how we see things. And what we need is to correct, not to condemn. In fact, there was a question about that how do we draw a line of difference between correction and condemnation? And I made it know that it deals with the intention.
Yes.
Okay? So we saw in Acts chapter 15 that there was the issue of circumcision as evidence of salvation, physical circumcision. And Paul, amongst others, were sent to the Jerusalem council to address the issue.
Hmm.
So, but you see that today, the church, when there is differences, we just tend to mind our own business. Okay, this is my own church, this is how we do things. There is no unity of faith. Okay? And because there is no unity of faith, we are running a fractional church. Denominationalism. We are not running with the ideal of the old church, the early church, that says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Yeah.
Okay? And we also looked at the church of then and now. We said in the early church, the message, which is Jesus, you know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 5, you see John saying that which we have heard, that which we have touched, that which we have seen. He said, of the word of life. And when you look at it, you will see that the word is in capital letter, showing that it is showing a personality, which is Jesus. So Apostle Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he made it clear that I choose to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified. So when we compare the church of then and now, the focus of the church of then was more on the message, which is Jesus, than the money. They were looking more for the outcome of the life of the believer than the income of the pastor. Okay? And so these were the things that we've discussed so far. So today I want to take the flight on the fact that when we look at the church of then and the church of now, we will see that the meetings of the church of the early church was more like a prayer ground. But our meetings this day, I'm sorry to say, it looks like a playing ground. The early church sees the church as an organization now as a praying ground. But the contemporary church sees the church as a playing ground. You know, I was speaking with a group of campus leaders. They were having their program planning. A new leader had just emerged, so they want to plan the program for the fellowship.
Okay.
And I was invited, and I told them, I said, I understand that we are all youth, and it looks today as if the church program needs to be spiced up for people to attend. So when we are planning youth program, we will say that let us plan hangouts. Let us plan get together. Let us plan, you know, and I'm saying that have we exhausted options of programs that can edify brethren? Now, I'm not trying to sound so sanctimonious. I'm also in this within this terrestrial ball. Mm-hmm. But I am saying that when we call it a church, we need to shift our gaze from ephemerals. Because when you look at the early church, I'm going to show us, scriptures that shows in the book of Acts that the convergence of the early church is a praying ground, not a playing ground. So I told them, I said, you plan hangouts, you plan this, you plan that, at the detriment of the soul of men. So you will plan hangouts, and a sister will have the effrontery in the gathering of a believer to come with crop top because you have planned a hangout to hold in a beach or at a beach. So what are you saying? What will be the line of difference between the social group and the Christian group? Now, the early church, their concern of meetings, I want to cast our mind back to Acts chapter 6. You will see that when there was an issue of, meeting the needs of the Hebrew women, the apostle said, we cannot afford to neglect the ministry of the word and prayer and begin to serve table. Now, does it mean that the serving of table is something they should neglect? No. But that there is something that is of priority. And it is that when we talk of a Christian meeting, it is the word and prayer. So today, it is fashion and fancy. The church today is filled with men who are fashion and fancy oriented. So that is why you will see that we now plan beauty pageants even in the church. Even in the church, we now invite comedians to come and spice up a vigil so that people will not sleep. And all of these things are going on in the church as though it is normal. But when you look at the church of then, I never saw anywhere. I have seen where Paul preached all night and somebody Eutychus fell from a high story building to the ground. Yeah, I've seen that. But I have not seen where they invited comedians. I have not seen where the church is seen as a playing ground. That we need to plan this to spice up our program. That is it. We have shift gaze from what should be our utmost priority to ephemerals. And that is why the link I sent out today, I was saying that we should pray for the church, that the church will shift our gaze from ephemerals to eternal pursuits. Because we need it at a time as this. I bring you to the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 1. The scripture says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the prayer time. If you are with your Bible, underline it. Peter and John, as early as the third chapter in the book of Acts, they were going to the temple at prayer time. Now, what this suggests to me is this. The prayer for the early church was not a special program.
Yeah.
It is one of the core of the church meeting. It is the core. Because when you look at Acts chapter 6, 2 and 4, verse 2 and 4, where they were laying emphasis on the fact that, you see, prayer is their ministry. We cannot need the ministry of the word and prayer to serve table. So it's not a special program. Now, in the church of today, before you can see a church meeting where they pray for 1 hour, it must be a special program, not the normal church program. So on a Sunday service, before you can see a church that prays for 1 hour in a 3 hour meeting, it is rare. We will rather choose to pray for 10 minutes and collect offering for 1 hour than to pray for 1 hour and collect offering for 10 minutes. Because the focus has changed. Our attention is more on ephemeral than eternal things, than things that edifies the body. The things that edify the spirit. So what we are saying is this: when you look at art very well, you see that prayer is the core of the convergence of the children of God. So I'm wondering how we got to the point where sermon, preaching, call it whatever, teaching will be 20 minutes. Prayer will be 5 minutes. And those prayers, they are just the routinary prayer we pray. And offering, collection of offering, or other, even announcement. People will not be looking at time during announcement and offering, but we will be looking at time during prayer. In fact, during prayer, you see people sit down and they are sleeping. Because what the church is breeding is people who see the church as a playing ground where they come to meet their friends, to connect, just for socialization.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that is eternal, it doesn't make sense again. And I'm asking, how did we get here? When you look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says that after they prayed, Acts chapter 4, verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
So again, they prayed. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When was the last time in your church did you pray and where you were praying was shaking? You can be sure that the prayer that shook the ground in Acts chapter 4, verse 31 is not a 5 minute prayer. I know that when we are teaching on prayer, we say it's not about the time, but I'm sure that this kind of prayer is not a 5 minute prayer. And you can be saying, yeah, it was in the days of the apostles. I have heard testimony of one of the GOs of one of the churches in Nigeria shared the testimony that in 1971-79, they went to Oklahoma to pray. I mean, I'm talking of Daddy Adeboye with the founder of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, that they prayed in an hotel and the hotel was shaking. The hotel was shaking. So meaning that we can still pray a ground-shaking prayer in our days. We can still pray such prayer. The church is not a playing ground. It should be a prayer ground. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, you hear the Bible saying that, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Imagine that they put an apostle in the prison. I know that if that happens in our day, the first approach is for us to go and get a lawyer. But in the days of the apostles, it was prayer. Prayer was the ground for justice for them. Prayer was, they were not looking for a son, you know, to plead their cause. Apologies, barrister. I know we need to do that so that lawyers can see. But what I'm saying is that the church has seems to have lost its potency or our potency because we have played down on the core of the church, which is the word and prayer. So Paul Peter was kept in prison and the church was earnestly praying and chains were breaking up. Chains were falling in their own accord because the church engaged a weapon. Prayer is a weapon for a Christian. It is not a mere religious recitation. It is not a monologue that you just talk. No. Prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not a mere religious recitation. It is something you engage that brings divinity to manifest in the affairs of humanity. You cannot build a correct church that lacks prayer. A praying church is a living church. A praying church is a living church. So it means that if your church is not a praying church, it is a dead church. I don't care the activities that are going on there. We have lost touch with any church that loses touch with prayer has lost touch with God. Because prayer is what helps a church to engage God, to contact God, to unshake God. In Acts chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says that on the Sabbath, we went outside in the city gate of the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And my question is this, that can people today be looking for a place where they, you know, people just go in, they just pass by your church and they come in and say, let us go and pray there. We know our prayer will be answered. Even church members don't regard the place as where they can pray and their prayer will be answered. That is why some members of our church will rather go to another church to pray. And the pastor will now be saying people are going here and there to pray. Why don't you make your own church a place of prayer that men can trust God that when they pray here, God answers. God is everywhere. But men need to see. The Bible says, Jesus was speaking. He said, until there is signs and wonders, these people will not believe. And the only way to purchase signs and wonders is by prayer. Prayer is the currency to purchase signs and wonders. Prayer is the currency you need to purchase. Prayer coupled with faith is the currency you need to purchase signs and wonders. So Jesus, towards the end of his ministry, he rode to Jerusalem and he chased out the money lenders and he said it explicitly that my house, meaning the church, should be called the house of prayer and not the den of lions. Is my church, is your church. Are you as a church a praying person? Because when we talk of the church, I believe by now you know that I'm talking of the church both as an organism and as an organization. So as an organism, talking to you as an individual, are you praying? When last have you spent 1 hour alone, not a special program, alone in your house, in your office, wherever you think you have the time to pray? Have you spent 1 hour at a goal to pray? So, looking at the church of then and now, it is glaring, having quoted series of verses of the scripture from the book of Acts, that prayer was a core matter. The church is a praying ground, not a playing ground. Okay? So I move to another point that when you look at the church of then and now, we activities were marred with testimonies. Activities, church activities were marred with testimony in the days of the apostles. But today, our activities are routinary, routine. And you know, I think it suffices at this point to say that routine has rotten the church. Routine has rotten and robbed the church of our testimony. Routine. We just, there is a stereotype. Well, maybe I don't want to use my own background, denominational background, to judge others. But I also think that the routine, the week in, week out program that we do, it has rotten and robbed us of the testimony of old. I think the church has more people today who are saying that where is the testimonies of our fathers, like Gideon. I was invited somewhere, and I told the minister of God that I said, oh, create time for men to come and share testimony. When people gather and God manifests, there is no way there won't be testimony. Except in our meetings, God is absent. God cannot grace a meeting and there will not be manifestation. So if manifestations, testimonies, signs and wonders is cars in your church, then you can begin to ask, is the Lord in our midst? If the Lord is in our midst, you will see fire burn bushes and the bushes will not burn. You will see sea part when the Lord is in our midst. You will see sicknesses fade off when the Lord is in our midst. So in the days of the apostles, a man of God can be walking on the street, and if a madman ever come in contact with his shadow, the madman can be sure that he is healed already. With just the shadow, you know, my God. There is a songwriter in Yoruba said that Olorun nse bebe bi tatijo. Awa la baba bi tatijo. You know, in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 13, Gideon was saying, he said, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? So I think in the church now, we need to begin to ask, where are all the wonders? Where are all the wonders that a man of God will go for a program and a snake will come on him and he will just swing it into a fire and that's all. And no venom hurt him. I'm talking of Apostle Paul. I'm talking of a man who was ministering somewhere and they only took handkerchief from his body and lay it on the sea. I'm also trusting God that even through me, I'm not going to wait till maybe I'm a pastor of a church. These are things we should experience even as a church, as a believer. Testimonies are the hallmark of the early church. Today, it is more of activities. Activities void of testimonies. Activities void of testimonies because we have substituted, you know, the power of God for routinary activity. We just come, we know what to say, what to do, and that's all. There is no point. There is no point. We are waiting on the Lord to say, God, what is the next move? What is the next move? What is the next move? Testimony will only erupt if we allow the move of God. Testimonies in our meetings, in our life as a church, we erupt if we allow the move of God. Over to you, Sir Barrister.
Well, you had a brother there. Testimonies will always, if we allow the move of God. If you want testimonies to erupt in our midst, we have to allow the move of God. You've been listening to Brashewe Idele joining us today for April's edition of Impact Clinic on Gospel Best Radio with Shehu Oyedele. Thank you for all who have joined us and people who have reached out to us on WhatsApp. If you want to ask any question, if you have any observation, if you have any contribution to make, it's very easy. Just tap the WhatsApp widget on the bottom right hand corner of our page and ask your question. If you send your question in early enough, we'll put it to Brother Shehu Oyedele and he will address it before the end of this program. If you want to make a contribution as well, do not hesitate to do so. Just type it, and if you want to call into the studio, we can I can call as well. We are glad to have you. Impact Clinic is on Gospel Best Radio every first Saturday of the month. And after today, we are going to have this episode up on our website, and subsequently, we are going to send out the notice where you can listen to it again. It would be nice for you to drop a line for us on WhatsApp. Just have the WhatsApp with you and drop a line for us so that we know your number, and then we can send you a link to listen to this program even after today. We are looking forward to receiving your questions and contributions. Thank you very much. God bless you. Really good. Over to you now, bro.
Yeah. So far this afternoon, we've looked at the church of then and now, and we said, first, the church of then sees the church as a praying ground and not a playing ground, and that in the meetings of the early church, testimonies erupt, but today we have more activities than testimonies. Okay, so the church of then, one of the features is that it is filled with needless men. But the church of today seems to be filled with the needy. How do I mean? You know, one of the secrets of the growth of the early church, one of the secrets of the influence of the early church is generosity, willful giving. And you remember a woman called Dorcas or Tabitha, okay? She exemplified that. You know, you can read her story. But when you come to Acts chapter 2, verse 45, you hear the scripture says that they sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. And so, because there was distribution of items, there seems to be no needy among them, because the Bible says that they had all things common. They had all things common. In Acts chapter 20, verse 34, the Bible says that you yourself, that's Apostle Paul now speaking, he says, you yourself know this, that my hand has supplied my own needs and the needs of my companion. Apostle Paul speaking, he said, my own hands have met my needs. Acts 20, verse 34. It's one of his farewell speech while moving to Jerusalem. He said, you know, the pastor of the church is talking, and he's saying, you know that my own hands have met my needs. See, the church of today seems to be filled with needy pastors and needy congregation members of the congregation. But Paul was saying, you see, my hands have met my needs and even the needs of others. So it was not the kind of ministry where the pastor feels sense of entitlement. Because needs were met. Even pastors were using their own money to meet the need of the members of the congregation. But that has, that seems to have changed. Today now, we expect that the, it is the members that should give, and even the members, because they don't know the power of giving, they will be told. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 says that there is one that scattereth, he said, to his increase, and there is one that will tow it, he said, to his own poverty. So what we are saying is that when we look at the early church, needs of men were met. But today, we hold back. In fact, you notice that even some pastors don't pay tithe. Even though they preach that the members should pay tithe. And there will always be need. There will always be need. Because God already said, you bring this tithe so that there can be food in my house. But when we don't give, then it means that there will always be lack. So when you see a pastor who preaches that you bring your tithe and he himself does not pay tithe, he is a beggar pastor. Now, what I'm saying is this, that we need to begin as members of the church to begin to look into the needs of the people around us. In one of the review we had on the Reader's Club, we were talking on the fact that believers, the church must understand that the place of hospitality, the place of giving to others, because we know that Jesus already said it, that when you give to the least amongst his people, he said you are giving to him. And in one of his parables, he said, you will say that, where did I see you sick that I did not visit you in the hospital? When did I see you naked that I did not clothe you? When did I see you hungry? And I know, he said, if you do it to these people, you have done it to me. So the early church was a church that understands the blessedness in giving. Because in the book of Acts, the Bible says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give. And the matter of giving, the matter of meeting needs, is not just for members. Even church pastors should do the same. You pay your tithe, you give your offering, you see members in need, you give. There is no constitution, there is no place in the Bible where the scripture says that it is only members that should give to pastor. Pastor should not give to members. No. If we want to follow the teaching of Paul, then we know that we should also do the same thing he did by saying that my own hand met my needs and the needs of others. Else, there will always be lack in the church. There will always be people who will rather go and beg an unbeliever for food than to beg a believer, because they know that a believer may not give them, but rather will make jest and ridicule of them. And when a believer goes outside to beg from an unbeliever, it gives the unbeliever a good point, a good ground to say that, where is the blessedness in serving your God? Where is the blessedness in serving your God? So the early church needs were met. People were ready to sell their possession. I am trusting God that the Lord will help me as an individual to get to this point where I can conveniently meet the needs of the people. I am trusting God to be blessed so that I can be a blessing. Yeah. And this should be the attitude of the church, because we understand that he that giveth to the needy lend to God. Whoever gives to the poor is lending to God, and God will repay the person with interest. My God. When we look at the early church, we see that it is filled more with oracles than orators. The early church is filled more with oracles than orators. The church today, it seems we celebrate men with big vocabularies. You know, even when the man who has big vocabularies lacks unction and mantle. It looks as if you have not preached, I can't imagine that somebody is speaking to maybe a congregation that 95% of our members, they are Yoruba speaking members or Igbo speaking members. I mean, talking to Nigerians now, or also speaking members, and 50% of his message is filled with Greek and Hebrews. Greek and Hebrews that he himself cannot pronounce well. But just to show the prowess of his oratory, he will bring in Hebrews, bring in Greek, bring in Latin. And I'm asking, to what end is this? Apostle Paul was saying that, I come not to you with eloquency of speech. And what I have come to discover is that grammar and big vocabulary, it can only aid communication. It cannot aid conviction. Grammar will only aid communication. It can't aid conviction. You can speak big language, big English. You can speak big, you know, use different language. You speak in China, speak in this. That is not what we hate conviction. Conviction will be aided by the utterances sponsored by God. Utterances sponsored by God is what we aid conviction. Because the Bible says that the word of God, not the word of man, the word of God is sharper. So if you are not speaking the word of God, it cannot pierce the heart of men. That is why we preach 52 sermons in a year, and men are still left in the miry clay of their iniquity. No conviction, no change, no transformation. Are we not tired? Are we not tired that we a minister of God will preach 52 sermons, 52 Bible studies in a year, making 404 amongst other times of exaltation and different things we do, and lives of men are not changing? I think it is because we are filled, the church pulpit is filled with men, orators than oracles. Ezra only read. He only read from the scroll, and the people were shedding tears, and the following day they gathered that they want to listen. Peter only traced Jesus down to the days of Abraham, down to the days of Moses, and he came, he just summarized Genesis to Deuteronomy, and the Bible says that 3,000 souls, 3,000 souls were won. The decay in our generation, that we have politicians go from church, they move from church to National Assembly and different political seats, and they still increase the level of corruption. It is because the people who are feeding them, saying they are preaching to them, they are only orators, not oracles. If revival must fall in our days, we need men. We need more oracles than orators in our pulpit. We need it. we need more oracles than orators on our pulpit. So in the days of Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 27, we see when he was on a voyage, when he was on a trip, and you know, there was a mighty wind that lives were threatened, everything. Paul said that he is so sure, not by his own head knowledge, but by the word of God that proceeds out of his mouth, that no life will be lost. And by the time you get to verse 44, the testimony was that the rest were to get there on planks or on other piece of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely, according to the word of Paul, because he was speaking as received directly from God. And any word that comes from God cannot go unfulfilled. It can't go unfulfilled. So today, in our churches, we have orators. Orators. Men who cannot wait on the Lord to know what God is saying. My God. My God. The Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. If it is not the word of God, it cannot divide anything. It can increase men. It can increase the intellect of men. It will not edify their spirit. It will not. No wonder in our churches, you see choristers sing. Choristers who sat on that sermon on Sunday. By Monday, in their offices, they are in corruption. Because the word is not piercing through. Jesus was speaking. He said, the word that I give, if it's Jesus that is sponsoring the words on our altars, if it's Jesus sponsoring the words on our pulpit, he said, the word I give, they are spirit and they are life. So the question is, if you are a pastor here and you preach, where do you get your words from? If you are a member of a church, can you confidently say that the message of your pastor is sponsored by God or by a encyclopedia? Is it sponsored by God or by text on Google? Is it sponsored by God or by what he searches out from Wikipedia? The source of an orator is in intellect, but the source of an oracle is in God. The source of an orator, I want to round it off now so that we attend to question. For you to know the source, when we say the church is filled with orators, it means that the church is filled with men who rely on their intellect. But in the early days, we have men who rely more on God. Their source is in God, not in their intellect. So Apostle Paul was saying that, see, even though I'm a student of law and this and that, he said, I count all of those things as rubbish. What I am looking for is that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. These are men that can bring God's counsel to you, and your heart will be pricked. Your heart will be punctured by the word of God, and you will be convicted of the word of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. It is my prayer that the Lord will revive his church. I think next next edition, on this platform, we are going to be praying for the church. But before then, you can please pray for the church. It's time for revival. Revival needs to break out in the church. The church as an individual and as a congregation. And the Lord is helping us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen indeed. The Lord is helping us. The Lord will help us. And we look forward to that edition where we pray for the church. Revival needs to break out. And you're absolutely right on that, that revival needs to break out. And I do pray that God, that revival will start with you and with me. And that's what leads to this question here, saying, well, what can I as an individual do to correct the errors in the church? You know, so this is somebody who's looking at himself or maybe herself and saying, well, what can I do? As maybe this person is seeing this message as for the church and say, okay, the church ought to do this. This person, what can I do? What can I do, a brother or a sister? What would you say to that?
Yeah. What you can do as an individual, number one, is to know the truth. You must know the truth.
Exactly.
Meaning that you have to be a student of the Bible, so that you yourself, you will not be tossed here and there. If you are well fed and you know the truth, it will help you on the second point. The second point is that having known the truth, in your little corner, don't keep quiet. I am an active member of Bible study in my church. And even though I am not the lay leader, I'm not this or that, I'm just a member of the church. When there is time for Bible study, where I teach too, but when I'm not a teacher, Bible study teacher, when there is question and all of those, I speak the truth without apology, without fear or favor. I remember one of the Bible study questions in our church last year, that why don't people attend Bible study classes? It was one of the questions that was asked. And I stood up and I said, why will people attend when what they are not getting value for their time? If you are a teacher, you are coming here to teach and you are not prepared. So I've passed my message that, Oga, if you are a teacher in this church, go and sit with God and get the word from God. So you can't hold on. You can't hold your peace. In fact, if you know the truth, like Jeremiah said, the word is shut up in my bone like fire that I cannot afford to keep quiet. So you know the truth, then you speak the truth in any avenue. You are not condemning anybody. You are not, telling somebody that he's not really doing it, but just show them what it is. Then thirdly, you have to pray. First Timothy chapter 2, Paul was admonishing. He said that first of all, prayer and supplication should be made for all men. When he got to verse 2, he said that we will be able to live a peaceable life. So you will pray for your pastor, you will pray for church workers, you pray for yourself, you keep praying. We keep praying. I think with this, we can bring forth a new breath.
Exactly. And I love that you emphasized knowledge, that as an individual, you want to acquire knowledge, and it's not worldly knowledge, as our brother emphasized during the presentation, during the ministration, it's not worldly knowledge. We have enough of worldly knowledgeable people in the church, and we need people who are knowledgeable in the affairs of the world too in the church, because we have to make an impact in this world, but not for the purposes of Christ. Christ is not depending on worldly knowledge to advance his kingdom. The knowledge we're talking about is the knowledge of the word of God. Our brother has emphasized that you need knowledge, and then you need to devote yourself to prayer, as well. We must never de-emphasize the role of prayer in everything that we do. And I love that you also mentioned that the church must be a praying church. I love that you mentioned that. And of course, also when you made that allusion to those who think that prayer time is the most boring time in a worship service, we should really be concerned for them. Because, you see, the time of prayer is actually the time when we commune with God and then when we renew our strength. So even if what you can do is to pray for your church, to pray for the body of Christ, if you know somebody who is in Christian ministry or the vicar of your church, the pastor of your church, or some specific persons who are playing one role or the other, if that's all you are doing, praying for people, praying for a church, I mean, my view is that then you are doing invaluable work for the kingdom of God. I'm sure you agree, bro.
Yes, exactly.
You are doing fantastic work for the body of Christ if that is all you do. Thank you all very much. It's been another beautiful time here on Gospel Best Radio, listening to our dear brother Seun Oyedele for Impact Clinic on Gospel Best Radio with Seun Oyedele. And we look forward to the edition in May. We understand it to be maybe a prayer edition or maybe a ministration and a prayer, but we look forward to that. And let us pray that those who have listened today, if you have listened today, please reach out to us to get a link to listen to this over and over again so that I can also share with others. And our prayer is that those who have listened today and those who are going to listen in the future will be blessed by it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. We look forward to you joining us at 8 p.m. tonight. The Readers Club on Gospel Best Radio will be meeting as we move to the end of the book Pilgrim's Progress Part 2. So if you can join, do join. Just come back to gospelbestradio.com and join us to listen to the Readers Club and to make a contribution and reactions as well. Roshan, thank you so very much for today. It's been a blessing. Once again, God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, please say a word of prayer as we bring this to a close.
Our Father and our God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for a time as this.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you because even right from the time of the man of God, Ravi Hill, who wrote Why Revival Tarry, and even before then, you've been wanting that the church will be revived. We are praying that in our time, we will be instrument to this revival in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We pray that all programs on Gospel Bells Radio will move us forward towards this revival in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Bless the proprietor of the Gospel Bells Radio.
Amen.
Bless everyone who are part of this ministry.
Thank you. Amen.
Bless our nation, Nigeria.
Amen.
Bless your church, dear Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, bro. God bless you. We're good.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Okay. And please do stay with us. Shortly, we are going to play a past episode from one of the Readers Club meetings. And I'm sure every time we listen to some past episode, we continue to receive blessings from the Lord. And at 8 p.m., we'll be here for Readers Club. Do join us. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Always a pleasure. God bless you.
You are listening to GospelBellsRadio.com, the Christian internet radio with a mission to engage the culture with the mind of Christ. Keep listening and invite others, too. God bless you.
Engaging the culture with the mind of Christ.
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 Engaging the culture with the mind of Christ.